Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. And as we go to the book of Proverbs, and we look there, let me get over to Proverbs chapter 8 real quick. And when we looked at, we did our reading on the book of Proverbs chapter 8. This is one of the areas where pretty much everybody was right on the same thing. Basically, if you look at the spreadsheet that I printed out for you, that with all the verses that we had when we did our reading in January in Proverbs chapter 8, primarily verses 13 and 14, but mostly the biggest area, the actual biggest area of overlap was verse 13. And so I've included on the sheet I handed out to you or left it for you today. It is Proverbs 8 and verses 13 and 14. But let's go ahead and read the whole chapter. And it says, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared with it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, and when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his soul. All they that hate me love death." So if you hate God's wisdom, you love death, because that's the opposite of it. But I want to go in here. There's so much that I could talk about here on this, but we want to focus on these verses here in verses 13 and 14, verse 13 primarily. But he says in chapter 8, verse 13, he says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. That is the fear of the Lord. When you fear God, when you reverence God as you should, when you look at your relationship with God as being the first thing, you begin to hate that which is wrong, that which is not right, that which is evil. And evil is defined here very straightforwardly here in the remainder of this verse. But you begin to hate evil. If you look at Psalm 97:10, it says, "Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserved the souls of his preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked." Psalm 119. Verse 104 says, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." The reason I talked to you about that mailer I got from the Jehovah Witnesses and the things that they're doing is not because I hate Jehovah Witnesses. I hate the doctrine, the way, the false way that they teach. You know, if you have a people that teach that Jesus is not enough and that his death on the cross is not sufficient to save you from your sins, they're lying. Because the book of Hebrews tells us clearly, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So he did that by himself. He purged our sins by himself. And so that's something that we need to understand. You can't say it's Jesus plus this, or Jesus wasn't enough, or it's not Jesus at all, it's joining my organization. You can come up with any doctrine you want, but if it teaches that there's salvation any other way than through faith in the shed blood of Christ, they're lying to you. And they're lying not because they're not sincere. They're lying because they've been lied to and they've believed a lie. Psalm 119, verse 128, "Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way." There is the fear of the Lord. I look at what does God say? What God says is right. "Yea, let God be true and every man a liar." Amen. So what God says is right. And so the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And then we look at Job, for example. We look at Job. Job said, verse 1, and several places it talks about in the verse, the book of Job, it talks about Job. It says, "There was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil." To eschew something is to say, I don't want to be near it. I don't want to be a part of it. It's to reject it. To that. So he feared God and he eschewed evil. He wanted to be separated from it. He didn't want to be partaker of it. And when we learn to fear God, to truly fear God, we will hate evil. We will find out what God says is right and good, and those things that are contrary to that will say, no, that's not good, that's not right. And so, and then 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it." So there we see that definition of the fear of the Lord, to hate evil. How do you know that you fear God? Because you hate evil. If you love evil, you don't fear God. You can't have it both ways. Oh, I love the Lord, but I'm going to go out and do whatever I want to do, whatever I feel like. No, can't have it both ways. And you may fear the Lord in one thing and not fear the Lord in another thing. And what our goal is for us to learn to fear the Lord in all things and hate evil, right? That's what we're supposed to do. And so then we look at what he says, and he defines evil. He says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Then you see a colon right there. And then after that colon, that those two dots in your text, it says, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Now that's an interesting thing when we look at that. Pride. Pride, that's on the inside. That's that attitude of heart that says, I'm the measure of all things, that I decide what's right and wrong, that I'll do things my way, that I don't need the mercy of God, that I am good enough. That idea, that pride against God, that, yeah, God says do it this way, but I think this way is better. Yeah, God says do it this way, but that's the way I've always learned, and I'm going to do it the way Mom and Daddy taught me, even though God says do something different. That pride, that idea of I will decide what's right and wrong, not God. And then arrogancy. And arrogancy, you say, what's the difference between pride and arrogancy? Well, pride is internal. Arrogancy is when that pride is turned outward onto others. You think you're better than somebody else. I talked about the Jehovah Witnesses and everything like that, and I talked about this flyer I got. Am I better than the Jehovah Witnesses? No, I'm not. I'm not. It's not a matter of being better, it's a matter of being right or wrong. And right not defined the way man defines right, but right defined the way God defines right. And you know, we have to learn that. You know, one of the biggest complaints about you hear from the lost and dying world is all those people in the church, they're all hypocrites. They just look down their nose at you. Well, that's arrogancy. And sometimes such a criticism is justified, even though most of the times and many times it's not justified. They're just parroting something that they've heard. And they've just made the assumption that everybody in the church is somehow holier than thou, and they look down their nose at you because you're different or whatever the case may be. And they do that because, not because they have any real experience with it, but because that's what they've been told. And so they jump on it. And so rather than having any real knowledge, they just become bigots. That's what they are. If you look at a group of people and you pigeonhole them all into one category, that's what we call bigotry, right? Well, all black people are the same. All white people are racist. Go down the list of all the things that people say. You know? It's bigotry, isn't it? And it's also arrogancy because you're lowering other people to lift yourself up, isn't it? But if you stand on the Word of God and you say, look, this is what the Bible says, I'm not better than you, but the way you're going is wrong because God says it's wrong, and the way I'm going ahead trying to accomplish here is right, simply for no other reason than God says it's right. I'm not doing this because I'm better than you. I'm not better than you. Jesus died for my sins just like He died for yours. And the question is, I would have to anybody that would have that attitude, what do you want me to do? Jesus saved my soul. He died on Calvary's cross. He bore my sins in His own body on Calvary's cross. He paid the penalty for my sins. He died. He rose from the dead. And so now, what am I supposed to do? Continue living the way I used to live? Or should I change and now live a life pleasing to the One who loved me enough to die for me? What should you be the judge? What should I do? And if I, as a Christian, fail and do something wrong? Should I just quit on God and turn around and now start living wickedly like I used to just because I failed once? Or should I get up and turn back, go back to the right way and follow that way? What should I do? But there's that arrogancy. So the pride is that inward, the thoughts of the heart. That arrogancy is outward, that pride manifested and pushed out toward others. And then there's that evil way. The evil way and you know, your behavior, the customs, the way you live your life, the course of sinning, that decision, that which you chose and delight in, that which leads to destruction, that's an evil way. That's another thing. When we look at something that is that the Bible talks about being something that is leads to destruction, we call that evil. And if you live a life of sin, the wages of sin is death, is it not? And we're cautioned as believers to avoid sin. Why? Because we're told not to err. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Death. And he says, do not err, my beloved brethren. All right? Lust, when it's conceived, brings forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. We're told not to err in the book of James. So we're supposed to look at that. So that evil way. And then he says the froward mouth. And that's your speech. So what is evil? Well, that pride inside of our heart, that arrogancy toward others, that desire of staying in a sinful way, a sinful way of living, that leads to destruction. And then finally, that froward mouth, speaking perverse things, speaking unkind things, speaking things that are contrary. To the gospel, to Christ, towards other men. Contrary to truth. You know, once again, I'll bring up the thing I received from Jehovah Witnesses. You know, they have an idea of what they're going to do. They're going to teach a doctrine, and I've studied their doctrine quite extensively because I've had to talk to a lot of different Jehovah Witnesses over time. And you know, I'm not saying they're not sincere. I'm just saying that what they teach doesn't match up with the Bible. And if it doesn't match up with the Bible, it can't be right, period. But this world, we have this idea of people go out and they speak things that are contrary to the truth. And they say things that are not right. And they may say them in the nicest way possible, but it doesn't make it any less destructive. As a matter of fact, sometimes it makes it more destructive. Because if you read in the book of 2 Corinthians, it tells us that even the angel, the devil himself, is transformed into an angel of light, doesn't it? He tries to make it look, sound good and pretty and nice. You know, people want to take the scriptures and everything like that. They want to twist them. I've had people say, "Oh, I believe God loves everybody." And that's true, he does. But they take it a step further. They say, "I believe God loves everybody, so everybody's going to go to heaven." That second part's not true, is it? Everybody can go to heaven if they repent and believe the gospel. But as long as we're just saying that I'm good enough on my own and there's no judgment for sin and everything like that, if I say there's no judgment for sin, for example, Jehovah's Witnesses teach there's no literal hell. They teach that you'll be annihilated. All right? That sounds good. That tracks right along with what the world says and the evolutionist says. Oh, when you're dead, you just die and that's it. This life is all there is. And Jehovah's Witnesses, well, if you join our group and you do what we tell you, one day you get to live forever in paradise on earth. But if you don't, this is all you got. You die and it's over. You'll be annihilated. There's no hell. That's what they teach. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus spoke more about hell than he did heaven. He warned us about it. It's real. And God is absolutely just to send people there. Because one, we all know we're sinners. We all know we've done wrong. We all have hurt people. We've all rejected God in one way or another. We've gone our own way. We knew what was right and we said no. We're going to do what we want to do. Or we're going to do what our friends want us to do. Or we're going to do this or that, regardless whether it's right or wrong. We've all been there. But God put forth a way of salvation. And that way of salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And if you reject that, then you get what you deserve. But if you trust Christ as your Savior, then you get what you don't deserve. You get the mercy of God. You get the grace of God. You get your sins forgiven. You can grow up and become the person that you ought to be. And you get eternal life. But the whole point is so many people don't understand that. Because if you look at these, the evil that we have there, the pride, the inward things, the arrogancy outward towards others, that evil way, your behavior, and that froward mouth, your speech. Pretty much covers it, doesn't it? Covers all aspects. Inward, outward, toward God, towards others. What we do, what we say. He said, "I hate the evil way." And then, just to close out, he says on this here with verse 14, he says, "Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength." He's talking about wisdom. And if you go through there and you read about wisdom, he talks about that. When we have wisdom, there's good counsel, sound wisdom. There's understanding. And there's also strength. You know, when you know how to do something, there's a strength in that. There's a strength in that. I just want to give this to you. There's probably a whole lot more I could say about that if I sat down and took the time and thought about it. But I just want to focus on that last part. He says, talking about wisdom, he says, "I am strength." When you know the right way to do something and you know how to do it and you become proficient at it, there's a strength in that. If you know how to put something together, you ever picked up something you didn't know how to put together and tried to put it together? And all of a sudden you're fumbling around, you're dropping things, your things are falling sideways and everything else. But then once you learn how to properly put it together, all of a sudden you take one person over here and he's trying to put this thing together. He doesn't have the understanding. You have this other person over here and he understands and he has the wisdom. And this person's fumbling around, this person puts it together and he's ready to go to work. Do or use the tool or whatever it may be that he's going to do. Enjoy it or whatever the case may be. Same way it is with wisdom. If you don't seek God's wisdom, you'll be confronted with the choice between right and wrong, and the devil will try to make wrong right seem too hard. Isn't that the way the devil works? Oh, to do the right thing is just going to be too hard. When it's really not. It's actually easier. Because the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. There's a strength in sound biblical wisdom. Once you learn to do well, once we learn that, it becomes easier. And the sad thing is, and what you say, why is it so hard? It's because all our life we've been taught the wrong way. Anybody ever had a time where you were doing something and you'd been doing it a certain way all your life, and you've been doing this, and that's why you were showed to do it, and you were doing this thing, and it might have been, I mean, it could be working with a tool, it could be working with in a garden. I mean, I go down in list, but it could be work, maybe it could be doing sewing or needlework or anything like that. And you had this way that you were doing it, and all of a sudden somebody came in and they showed you a different way to do it, and you were like, "Oh, this is the way I've always learned to do it." And then you finally try their way, and you find out that their way is actually easier and better. You ever been there? That's the way we are. We start out, we learn everything, we want to do what we want to do, our way, my way. Or we choose the way that somebody who's been doing it wrong does, and then when we get shown the right way, we say, "Oh, that's too hard." But you know what? Once you start doing it, you find out, no, God's way is better. God's way is always better. So if we look at that, you know, I remember the first time I ever tried to hammer a nail. It was hard. Until I had somebody come along and show me the right way to hold my hammer. And it got a lot easier. It got a lot easier to do. There's a right way and a wrong way. There's an easy way and a hard way. God's way is the easy way. Although the devil wants you to make it, and the world wants you to think, and the flesh, they want all want you to think that God's way is the hard way, but His way is the easy way. His way is the right way. There's strength there. When we learn to do things God's way, when we learn true wisdom, it brings with it strength to where we can accomplish more than we thought we could. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close out the Sunday school time. Father, thank you for this time that we've had. Help us, Lord, to love wisdom and to hate evil, to fear God the way we should. Help us to hate pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth. Help us, Lord, to hate those things. And help us especially to hate them when we see them in ourselves. So easy to hate things when we see it in others. But Lord, where we need to hate it is when we see it in ourselves. Help us to forsake that way and turn to your way. And fear the Lord and say that God's way is right. Regardless of how we may feel. Regardless of what other people may say. Regardless of what we've been taught. That we would simply say, "This is the right way." We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.